Good morning. Welcome to the Health and Nutrition Program with Dr. Fred Harvey. Fred is on the phone with us, and we're going to take your calls about health and nutrition in just a few minutes. And Fred, how are you today?
Doing well today. How are you today?
Good, good. I'm just, you know, listening there to the NPR News, seeing that the stock market is up by 1,500 points because of the possibility that Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine is 90% effective, and also the Joe Biden win over the weekend for the presidency. So,
yes, it was amazing. I felt a pressure in my head, a burden on my shoulders, and a tightness in my chest lift with that news. We have potentially a new, hopefully a new approach to the way we deal with, especially the virus here in America. Yeah, there's a lot going on, and I'm so happy that we have a new president-elect, and he is actually starting a new coronavirus task force today to deal with this issue.
Yeah, 1.2 million people have been killed worldwide because of the coronavirus, a huge number of people. Let's hope we find a solution quickly. All right, so Pfizer says its COVID-19 vaccine is 90% effective. I don't know what kind of vaccine this is. Do you? Because you wanted to talk about RNA vaccines. So
yeah. I want to put the virus in perspective again, because what I'm getting from my friends and colleagues in the spiritual and holistic areas it's very devastating to me. I'm seeing doctors that I used to trust, holistic doctors that have platforms of millions of followers, famous women's health doctors, famous pediatricians, the former president of the American Holistic Medical Association, are spreading disinformation that I don't know where they have gotten it, because it's anti-science information. They're saying that the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 is actually not real, and that all kinds of strange theories, like actually it's 5G and all these weird ideas. But what we know is that it is a real particle. We have actually documented its presence in manifested reality. And so it's not just an energy wave of something, it's actually a virus. And COVID-19 is a disease caused by SARS-CoV-2 virus. And I see a lot of talk about this mortality issue. You know, 1% mortality means that if 300 million Americans have to go through herd immunity and everybody gets sick, that means 3 million Americans will die if it's 1%, and 15 million will die if it's 5%. I think we're better than that now because we figured out how to treat the people. But the problem is we also have comorbidity that goes along with it. And the people that get it seem to have chronic COVID problems. I just got a new patient last week who developed something called an empyema, which means pus around his lung because of it. He had to drain a quart of pus from around his lung. He is unable to walk a flight of stairs. He's 58 years old. I don't know when he's going to be able to climb stairs again. This is the scary part of this virus. And so we know it's contagious, and we know it's contagious because of data. If we just open our human eyes and look around the planet, we can see that countries that actually took it seriously, democratic countries that didn't use the draconian methods that China did, countries like Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, New Zealand, they have 100 times less cases than we do. When you look at the population, Japan has 125 million people. They have 1,100 cases a day. Taiwan has 23 million people. They have 4 cases a day. South Korea has 51 million people. They have 143 cases a day. New Zealand, with only 5 million, they have 6 cases a day. Norway, on the other hand, with 5 million people, who has a very libertarian, very non-cooperative bent, they have 500 cases a day, 100 times more than New Zealand.
Are you talking about Norway or Sweden?
Norway.
Oh, okay. All right.
Norway and Sweden have approached this fairly similarly. And there, it seems like the community attitude is one more of libertarianism, I think. Because if you look at these countries where they have more homogenous societies, Japan, Taiwan, South Korea, New Zealand, they work together, sharing the knowledge that wearing a mask helps everybody and distancing helps everybody. They didn't even have to do draconian lockdowns like China did. But in the USA, we have 100,000-plus cases a day for 300 million people. That means we have over 100 times more cases than these other democracies. We have a problem in America called disinformation. Disinformation is dividing Americans against each other. Disinformation is killing Americans from COVID. You know, many people pointed at the Orange Menace as the cause for our pandemic. Well, the leader could have brought us together. So he is responsible for a lot of this problem. However, Americans listened. They decided to go with someone who was lying to them and decided to go with disinformation that has no scientific backup. And I'm even getting nauseated thinking about my colleagues that I've gone to conferences with numerous times that are essentially, from my perspective, lying to the American public to get them to not wear masks. And if these other democracies have controlled it such that there are 4 cases a day in Taiwan and 143 in South Korea, it's obvious that a vaccine is unnecessary to control the pandemic. So what's the purpose here in America of playing this game of pushing us towards untested vaccines? That brings me to the challenge of Pfizer's beautiful, fabulous, bigly news that we have a vaccine that they can profit off of. It may help people. I am not saying it's not going to. But these things are human experiments. They have never been tried on humans before in this way. This is the first time ever. And usually it takes 3 to 4 years to provide enough safety data. We don't know what's going to come of this. But most of the vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, I think Glaxo has one, are all strange new devices. They're using a virus, a monkey virus, and they're putting coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 genes in that. When these viruses come into our bodies, they infect our cells with coronavirus genetics, RNA. The RNA produces protein. It produces the spike protein. So our own cells are producing a virus protein to produce immunity rather than the old style vaccine that we've used for many, many decades, which is a purified protein derivative of the virus. So Novavax, I sent you the link, Rob, Novavax is developing the only actual vaccine, standard style vaccine, where you actually put the protein of the virus into the body and have the body react to the protein from the virus. It's not alive. You're not putting a virus in. You're not using your own cells to make this new protein. So since my concern with this is, and one of the biggest challenges that has been reported for RNA vaccines is unintended immune response. So we already know that one person in the Pfizer study had transverse myelitis, which is an extreme immune response that cuts the spinal cord in half, basically. It just eats through it with inflammation. That's the kind of unintended immune consequence I'm concerned with RNA vaccines in the body like this, because coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 spike protein is the protein that triggers the COVID-19 autoimmune disease. I don't think we have a long enough track record on these 5 viruses, vaccines that are supposed vaccines that are coming out, including the Pfizer one. The only one that has the same kind of research and track record is the Novavax. I do not trust these yet because no one has studied these long-term in humans. They've never been used before. There is not one RNA vaccine approved for human use in infectious disease.
So, Fred, how many years do you think? You said it usually takes a number of years to prove the safety of a regular vaccine, and now with the RNA vaccines being tried to combat COVID, how long do you think it might be before you feel it would be safe?
I think we need to watch at least 2 to 3 years after the vaccine, because what we found out in a small subset of the people, the children that were given hepatitis vaccine back when it was first created, a bunch of them had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis triggered by the vaccine. It's not causative, but it triggered the autoimmune process in these people. And so, you know, what long-term COVID-19 issues are autoimmune. We damage organs and tissues. And so we don't know what the subtle autoimmune stuff is going on when our own cells are producing COVID spike protein.
So
they react to our own cells.
So, Fred, if it's going to be years in your mind before we prove that these RNA vaccines are safe, you're talking about people sheltering in place and life not returning to normal for 3 years or several years.
Well, I think life has returned quite nicely close to normal in many of those democracies that actually did the right thing and protected each other. I think we have a chance to do this sooner. I think that, and it sounds onerous to many people, but which sounds better overall? A six-month kind of lockdown where the country actually has a leader that coaches us to really do the right thing, the common sense thing, the real human sharing thing, versus doing our libertarian me, I'm doing it on my own thing. If we did that for 6 months, we probably would eliminate the need for the vaccine. Which sounds better, mandatory vaccines or mandatory masks?
All right, so you think masks alone and physical isolation are the way through this?
It is. I mean, look around. We have New Zealand. We have Japan. We have Taiwan. Look, we have the evidence that if we do the right thing, it works. Americans aren't willing to do what's necessary. Apparently, they've been coached to ignore the truth for years. And it's unfortunate. But we need solid coaching here and penalties for not getting involved. I don't know what kind of penalties. I don't know how it enforces it because we're such a libertarian nation. But, I mean, couldn't it be just Americans get together with heart and conscience and do this to fix the country? I would pray that we could do this and share the love. I don't want people on, you know, Chinese-type draconian mandatory lockdowns. But if we did it voluntarily and fixed the problem, it would be over. It would have been over months ago. But we had the most abysmal leader on the planet leading us to win. We are winning. We have the most cases, the most deaths. Do we want to keep winning this way?
Well, Dr. Fred Harvey is on the phone with us. This is WMNF in Tampa, the Health and Nutrition Program. And if you've got a question for Fred about health and nutrition, you can email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Some emails have already come in. I think there's about six or seven in the queue right now. All right, Fred, one last question. Is there anybody you trust at the national level, a doctor or a scientist, that when they say, okay, this vaccine is safe, you're going to trust that person's word?
Yeah, we have a problem here, because we have an administration that's still in place that lies to us. So is that administration going to force spokesmouths from the government to do it? I don't think anybody, I don't think any doctor, including Dr. Fauci, who I do trust still, but I don't think any doctor can definitively say these things are safe without another full year of watching what happens to people. And I have to say, I give great thanks to all the volunteers that are involved in these experiments, because they're helping us understand this better and they're risking themselves for the greater whole. Think about all those people that are getting vaccines and pour your love out to them, because they're sacrificing themselves for us. And then when you think about how much they're sacrificing because they're actually risking their lives by getting this vaccine experiment, maybe you ought to all think about wearing a mask and social distancing out of love for the people that are sacrificing for us. All the healthcare workers that are in the front line dealing with this intense disease. Let's wear masks. Let's distance. Let's do the right thing.
All right. Fred Harvey is here. This is the Health and Nutrition Program on 88.5 FM. Karen sends this email in. She says, is BioSil the best product for treating cracked, chipped nails, or is there something better? Do you recommend a collagen powder supplement instead? What recommendations do you have for cracked, chipped nails?
Nails, hair, skin, bone, all use the same collagen. So if you're having chipped nails, you might be having actually thinning bone. Keys to that are getting good protein intake, and the bare minimum I think that you can get for your protein intake is about 1 gram for 1/3 of your body weight in pounds per day. That would be the very minimum. I like to shoot for about 0.5 gram per pound of protein. So, you know, somebody this weighs 100 pounds, make it easy, we're looking at 50 grams of protein, especially going to make the nails really grow. 50 grams is in the vicinity of 7 ounces, which would be, you know, a can of tuna and 2 eggs, something like that. And then BioSil. BioSil is a brand name for a chemical called choline stabilized orthosilicic acid. The key there is the orthosilicic acid. Silicic acid is a organic silica, which is sand, and it's key in your body's ability to make collagen. So if you give yourself that linchpin, which most people don't eat enough vegetables that still have dirt on them, so they aren't eating enough sand, it's very good to get it in the organic form, which is highly absorbed, BioSil, Regenimax, orthosilicic acid. Really good stuff. Makes great collagen. I've watched nails get stronger doing it.
Nina writes this, what supplements would you recommend for someone having a prostate removed because of cancer? What's your opinion on Andrographis, writes Nina.
Well, I like Andrographis. I usually use that more for viral work. But for someone who has prostate cancer, we did have a show last week on that. And there are two medications I recommend for people that have prostate cancer. Statin drugs and metformin, if they are naive to them, they actually extend life greatly. But other things that can be really useful in this case are anti-inflammatory. Since you're having surgery, getting some curcumin and green tea and resveratrol, all are very good things. And Oncoplex are actually sulforaphane, glucosinolate from broccoli, very anti-cancer. All have shown efficacy in most cancers to some extent in assisting the body in dealing with it. So yes, antioxidants. And then actually the BioSil, since if you're having surgery, collagen is needed for repair. So BioSil can actually help to repair the tissues after the surgery.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a chance. We're going to try a phone call today. Frank Knox is usually our phone producer today, but he's away. But let's try to take a phone call. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Fred Harvey. What's your name and where are you calling from and what's your question?
Am I on right now?
It's you.
You are. Okay. My question is, after listening to Dr. Harvey talk for so long, it really amazes me that 70 million people voted for Trump. And I want to say that I made a mask that on the front of the mask it says, I believe in science. And you can't believe how many people said, oh, I like that mask, I like that mask. And it really, again, it really bothers my mind that 70 million people voted for Trump. I just can't understand that. Thank you.
What's your name, friend?
My name is Gary.
Gary, I am thoroughly astonished myself. And I'm completely astonished that any physician in America had the ability to pull that trigger. I don't know really what triggered them to make such a bad decision.
And are there any doctors that you know of that are Republican doctors that believe in it? That believe in Trump?
There are many Republican doctors that believe in this, and you've seen some of those open quote first line quote close quote doctors that he's paraded in front of us who talk about this really ridiculous concept of herd immunity. When you get the entire herd infected, millions die. These people are really mercenary, and I can't imagine that any physician could consciously invest his heart and mind in herd immunity for this virus.
And plus, I do not go at all to indoor restaurants. Once in a while, once in a while, I have the restaurant bringing the food out to me in the parking lot. I just call them when I'm there.
Yes.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. All right.
Thank you.
And Diane writes this, I have a persistent drip down the back of my throat, and I guess it's from sinus. It is very thick, and I am always trying to clear my throat, almost can't swallow. I've tried nose irrigation, sleeping with a humidifier, gargling salt water. I don't want to take anything that will dry things up more where I feel I can't swallow and my mouth is dry. Any suggestions to get this thick sinus drip to stop or to thin out, writes Diane.
Well, Diane, that's a good question. I don't know what kind of nasal irrigation you've used, but I think a full tilt neti pot using a cup of saline daily is a really good way to clean out a lot of that mucus, especially if you use the prepackaged saline packs that have baking soda in, or you can mix up your own. You take 1 ounce of baking soda and 2 ounces of sea salt, and you mix those together in a little Tupperware container or something, and then you put a half teaspoon of that mix into 1 cup of distilled warm water to irrigate your nose. The baking soda actually helps to dissolve the mucus. And then stinging nettles is a very good way to reduce the reactivity. They can be a little bit drying, but if you take them with N-acetylcysteine, NAC is abbreviated, like 600 milligrams 3 times a day of N-acetylcysteine helps to thin the mucus naturally without having to take a pharmaceutical like guaifenesin that's in Mucinex. I like the N-acetylcysteine because it also helps to clean out your liver and detox your body. So regular irrigation and N-acetylcysteine, stinging nettles, enzymes also help, some proteolytic enzymes, proteases help to dissolve mucus too. And then avoid the allergens. Get a HEPA filter for the house and for the office, wherever you are, if you can do that. That should help reduce it a lot.
Well, this is the Health and Nutrition Program on WMNF in Tampa. Fred Harvey, MD, is with us. And David in Clearwater writes, I'm seeing some improvement in my neuropathy since I started taking alpha-lipoic acid and methyl B12. Now my symptoms do not become very noticeable until early evening. Most work days, I fast until about noon. At work, I'm normally on my feet at least a few times each hour, but only for brief periods of time. Should I take the medicine with food, or is it better to take it early in the day before I have my symptoms, writes David.
Oh, that's a really interesting question about those two things. So neither the alpha-lipoic acid nor the methyl B12 actually reduce the symptoms when you take them. It's not like taking a pain pill that nullifies pain. These are nutrients, and they facilitate healing of the nerve. So the longer you take them, the more nerve recovery there is, generally, to the point where you've got to your limit of recovery. And then the alpha-lipoic acid tends to be better tolerated with food, especially when you get to the higher doses. And the neuropathy doses are around 1,200 to 1,800 milligrams a day. That's best done in time release so you don't get heartburn from the acid. But mixed with food, it works really nicely. And the methyl B12, I like that early in the day because it's usually pretty activating. It makes people more alert. You don't want to do that at bedtime.
Now, somebody who signs themselves as JFK says this, Dr. Fred, you had a mathematical calculation to determine one's protein amount that you need for daily intake. Could you repeat that mathematical calculation?
Sure. One-third or 0.33 times your total pounds in body weight is the minimum. And if you're looking for really good bone growth, you might want to go to 0.5 times your pounds in body weight. And that will be the grams that you would look for in protein. And usually a protein serving is 7 grams per ounce of protein. So an egg's about an ounce. So in ballpark, you get about 7 grams in an egg. You get about 7 grams and a half a cup of cottage cheese or of tofu. You get, again, about for every, what, like 2 slices of lunch meat, you get about 7 grams. A can of tuna has 30 grams. So that gives you a ballpark, but it's 0.33 to 0.5 for the minimum. And if you're trying to actually recover from an illness, if you have osteoporosis, you might want to push it up to 0.75 for half a year or something to really try and gain more lean body mass.
Let's experiment one more time with a phone call. We'll see if this works. Caller, you're on M&F with Dr. Fred Harvey. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Frank from Tampa.
Frank, thanks for calling. What's your question?
I wanted to ask him about talking about contact tracing with COVID-19.
Yes, what do you want to know?
Well, it's something that we don't talk about much, and when it can
happen...
That's
because we don't do it here in Florida.
Right, and yeah, it's something that we don't talk about very much, and thanks very much for what you said before about not talking... We don't talk very much about comorbidities with this either.
Right, right. We're missing a big part of the point here because there's this whole delusional focus on business on the current Florida administration, and they are ignoring human. And so, you know, to get businesses going, we got to ignore the virus and ignore that people are dying and ignore that people are getting sick. And why would we ever do contract tracing? Because that's not libertarian. You're going to call people up and you might infringe on their right to privacy, even though in a public health situation, they don't really have a right to privacy. And so we're in this really weird state of libertarian disinformation. And it's really a problem because we need to discuss these things. And when you try to talk about them, the subject always gets changed.
Yeah, and it's something we've done before, actually, with other diseases.
Typhoid Mary is a name that everybody should recognize. She's the first public health issue, typhoid in New York City.
HIV, we did contact.
We did that, too, yes. Totally agree.
Right, yeah, but it's still something that... doesn't go out there, and all of the countries you mentioned that are doing well, that's one of the important things they're doing is contact tracing.
I'm so glad you brought it up because it's true.
And they have systems where people can quarantine, too, if they have to. They've actually put the economics behind the quarantining also.
Well, that's the whole thing. If we actually did the right thing, the economics would be much better for all of us. Because we wouldn't be dodging this thing. We would have head-on directly dealt with it, and it would be a controllable issue. But because we have fear-based thinking in people that were afraid the stock market would blow up, then we made all fear-based decisions, which are usually really bad decisions.
Yeah. You know, one other thing about quarantining, where George Steinbrenner Field sits today, that was actually a TB hospital.
Yeah.
Into I think maybe even the 70s, where people were isolated there because a member of the family was a physician that worked there. So that's one reason I know about it. Another one is their grandfather was there, and they would go to see them, but they sit behind a glass wall to see them. But it was something that we did, and now we don't have We don't have the scourge of TB today.
Right, but it's coming back because people are again ignoring things like that.
Right. Thank you very much for what you were
saying. Okay. Frank, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. And this is 88.5 FM. You're listening to the Health and Nutrition Program. David writes this. I think David must have tuned in late. He says, what does Dr. Harvey think about the efficacy of a nationwide mask mandate? I like the fact that Biden has pushed for it, but how do you deal with people who refuse to wear masks, writes David.
That is a really good question. And since we have such a libertarian nation and so many freedom protections, honestly, I don't want a mask mandate. I want Americans to say, I understand. I understand this is real. And I understand I'm going to help America by doing it, not by being forced to do it by an authoritarian. Why is it that Americans can't get that if we just work together, we would have success? It's so sad to see such division, but the propaganda machine has been working so overtime to divide America on nearly every possible subject. Apparently, somebody out there really wants America to fail, and they're doing a really good job of it.
Let's take another chance and try the phones again. Let's take this caller. Caller, you're on M&F. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Sharon from St. Pete.
Hi, Sharon. What's your question?
Hi, Sharon.
My husband died of COVID on June 30th.
And I'm so sorry.
I've been having discussions with my family, and they say that it was his diabetes that killed him. And I want to know more about the comorbidities involved.
That is so perfect. I'm so glad that somebody actually said that to you, because that's the delusional thinking that's being promoted by the right wing. It's completely nuts. They're trying to say that only people with disease die from this. Only people with disease get sickness. Well, 50% of America has pre-diabetes, at least. Obesity. So half of America is at risk. So we can't minimize this.
I know.
Blame somebody for being obese. You die because you're obese. No. This is a virus that actually kills people that already have a disease. The virus killed
him. The virus killed him. Right?
The virus did it. The virus did it. The virus played to his weakness.
I'm so sorry. It's unbelievable. These are educated people.
Yes,
and they
and
say this to me.
They're delusional.
He died of diabetes.
They sold them the disinformation campaign. The disinformation campaign's winning.
I know. Unfortunately, it is.
So many people do not believe the science. This is an anti-science campaign that scientists are actually backing. I think as a doctor, I have been a scientist my whole career. Many doctors are businessmen. They gave up.
I appreciate that very much.
A method. They figured out a method.
And so you're saying that they're just what? They're not educated enough?
It's called willful blindness. They had the same education I did. They're just choosing not to use their knowledge of what a virus happens to be.
Yeah.
That's what's so distressing. That's why I actually posted on Facebook the other day that you should go and ask your doctor if they voted for Trump, and if they did, say, wow, I think I need a doctor, not a businessman. I'll be leaving this practice. Bye-bye.
All right, Sharon, thanks a lot. I'm very sorry about your husband. Thank you, Sharon.
Oh, no worries.
Thank you. So, Fred, do you look at it this way, that millions of Americans live right now with high blood pressure and diabetes, and some are obese and some have asthma? But if they catch COVID-19, they're at greater risk because their bodies are already working overtime to try to deal
with it. Exactly the issue. And what you talked about there, the people that you're talking about, every one of them has something called endothelial dysfunction. The lining of their blood vessels is already pissed off for some reason. And COVID triggers that even worse. That's how it collapses so quickly, because they're already teetering on the edge. Diabetes hurts the blood vessels. Heart disease hurts the blood vessels. Asthma is a symptom of the same thing that is involved in the endothelium. All of these things are endothelial reactions.
So when somebody dies from a stroke or heart attack or pneumonia, and they've had high blood pressure, or asthma, or diabetes, or obesity, we don't say, oh, it was the diabetes that caused the stroke. It might have been related,
the way it works on the death certificate, and this is what people don't understand about death certificates and why they've been complaining about the death certificates on the alt-right so much, is that the doctor is supposed to put down the proximate cause of death. So you can say, respiratory failure. But what caused that? So what caused that was COVID-19, endothelial dysfunction from the diabetes. So diabetes was a contributing factor because it predisposed the person to the badness of COVID-19, which caused the respiratory failure.
Yeah, I mean, I always think that, you may have a health issue, but you die of a heart attack. And so
right.
That was the thing that put you over the edge. The heart attack was put you over the edge.
The heart attack, the heart attack is the end point. The heart attack is,
but the edge of life and death.
But that's not, actually, what pushes you over is the inflammatory trigger that caused the chunk of formerly smoothly flowing blood to turn into a congealed mess of jelly inside one of your coronary arteries. And what does that is endothelial dysfunction and inflammation. A heart attack is not why you die. The heart attack is actually the label of what anatomically occurred to you and physiologically. But what really happened was you had your blood vessel dysfunction so bad that it stopped the blood flow. And that's what COVID does. It stops the blood flow in tiny blood vessels. That's what Ebola does. That's what Zika does.
All right. Well, Dr. Fred Harvey is here. He's talking about health and nutrition. Mark in Odessa writes this. So is the regular flu vaccine safe? Question mark. And is the shingles vaccine safe? Question mark.
Oh, good questions about vaccines. Frankly, I've been watching them for 30 years. And from what I can derive, the incidence of bad stuff from the flu vaccine is somewhere in the vicinity of less than a tenth of a percent. All right, so 1 in 1,000 might have an incident. 1 in 1,000,000 gets a severe incident. You know, 1 in 1,000,000 might die. Yes, it does occur. There was one person so far who died in the Pfizer experiment, or at least had a serious event of the spinal cord issue. So I believe that I've watched it in so many patients over the years. Most people respond really well to an influenza vaccine. The newer ones, like FluBlock and QuadraFlu or something like that, and FluZone, they have basically made them all unit dose. So that means they've eliminated all the mercury out of them. And then they've also figured out that in this that the adjuvant that they used to put in, adjuvant meaning it works with, the adjuvant that they thought worked, which was aluminum nanoparticles, they did some studies and showed that all it did was piss off the arm. It made the arm get red and swollen, but it didn't increase the efficacy of the vaccine. So they've eliminated the mercury, and they've eliminated the aluminum. So the two big bugaboos that most people were worried about in those vaccines is gone. They are not live vaccines, including the shingles. The new shingles vaccine is just a purified protein. And I've seen people get that without any consequence. And so I know it can occur, but I've been using these for 30 years, and I've not seen the kind of worries that people are screaming about. So this could be a year where you might want to get the flu shot just so you don't get flu and COVID at the same time. It's, you know, for anybody who's at risk, I still recommend lung disease, heart disease, diabetes, over 65. If you have contact with infants, if you have contact with nursing home patients, you need to be vaccinated because you are at risk or you're risking other people.
The next question comes from Robin in Bradenton. She says, I feel Dr. Harvey's frustration with what it takes to control COVID. It's unfortunate that wearing a mask has been politicized. I feel targeted and shamed sometimes when I wear a mask, even though I am, for the most part, neither left or right. I am just happy that the devil has been ousted, and maybe now we can all rise up and unite together to control COVID and become a healthier nation. Living healthier needs to be addressed more. Our broken healthcare system needs to be fixed. Self-care needs to be stressed more than healthcare. Thanks for always having a great show, writes Robin in Bradenton.
Robin, that was beautifully stated. Thank you so much.
And Lois writes this, I have a husband who has very low vision. I am suggesting that he take eye vitamins with Zeaxantin, Zeaxantin, I think.
Zeaxanthin.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us about it.
So zeaxanthin is one of the carotenoids, the yellow, orange, red pigments that are so good for our body. And I would recommend that you get lutein, zeaxanthin, mixed carotenoids, lycopene. You need the rainbow. But yes, an eye vitamin that has that is not a bad idea at all, because it really does support the retina and retinal health. And so, yes, use that.
Well, if you've got a fresh question for Dr. Fred Harvey, you can email the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Regarding those substances that help protect the eye and the vision, why not just eat carrots or, you know, some vegetable that has those elements in it?
That is exactly the self-care we need to be doing. Eat a rainbow. Get carrots. Get squash. Have you ever watched spinach or kale sit too long in your fridge?
Turns
it
colors.
The color it turns, usually, if it doesn't rot, it's going to turn yellow, right?
Yep.
The green goes away. Behind all the greens and all the green leafy vegetables is carotenoids. There's a lot of carotene itself, beta carotene, in spinach, in kale. So as long as we keep eating our plants, we're going to get these carotenoids because animals don't make them.
Bob in Palmetto writes this: I've been dealing with seborrheic dermatitis on my scalp for years. My dermatologist prescribed Tacklonex and alternating shampoos. Do you have any suggestions to help with the severe itching and scales that flake off? Writes Bob.
That's a good one. Seborrheic dermatitis. That's like eczema. It's an inflammatory red skin reaction. Very scaly, usually kind of greasy sometimes. Often confused with dandruff, can resemble psoriasis also. But often those kinds of things are triggered from your gut immune system. So you might want to consider changing the diet, eliminating things that produce more pro-inflammatory bacteria in your gut, things like dairy fat. Can trigger inflammatory conditions there. Gluten, extra sugar, any kind of processed food. Try to eliminate at least dairy and gluten from the diet and see if you get an improvement.
Well, this is the Health and Nutrition Program on WMNF in Tampa with Dr. Fred Harvey. And then Angela sends this email. Can you please advise how much and how long you can safely take NAC? I'm 46 years old, and I have a few glasses of wine each night. I take NAC in the morning to help offset the damage to my liver, along with milk thistle before bed. Is this safe? Writes Angela.
Well, I hope it is, because I've been taking that same thing for the last at least 15 years every day. Milk thistle and N-acetylcysteine is my liver cocktail. I think it's quite safe. I've not seen any literature that would suggest it isn't. The only drawback for the milk thistle might be some drug interaction, and I can't tell you specifically right now. N-acetylcysteine, occasionally people get queasy with it because there's some sulfur in it. But if you're tolerating it now, you're going to tolerate it. It's a good thing.
Well, we've got room for a few more emails. So if you've got an email question for Dr. Fred, you can email us here in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. So if you've got a question for Fred, send us an email and Fred will answer it. We've got time for several more emails. Monica writes this: a few years ago, my mother got the flu and it exacerbated her emphysema and COPD. Is that similar to what the coronavirus does to people who have pre-existing conditions?
Great observation. Absolutely. That's exactly the process. That's why the influenza vaccine is so important for people in nursing homes, people over 65, people with lung disease, and anybody in contact with them, because the flu can kill people who have those predisposing conditions.
All right. So the next question comes in from the 813 area code. Let's see if I can pull this down here. And it's running away from me. Let's see if I can pull this email down. David writes this: one big problem with getting shingles is that all these roofing contractors start calling you, writes David, trying to make a joke there.
Good one, David.
All right. So our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And so Fred, are there things you can do to boost your immune system so that you're not as susceptible to picking up COVID-19?
Absolutely. Self-care is the key here. That's really what's going to keep us all getting through this. So let's do the foundational stuff. I like, if anybody on here is not familiar with Blue Zones, go do a computer search for Blue Zones. BlueZones.com, I think, might be the place. The Blue Zones are the places on the planet where we have more people living to 100 years old healthfully per capita than anywhere else on the planet. And they have rules, not, you know, written in stone rules, but just rules of the way the society works. And they have really simple things. They sleep. They get good quality sleep. They don't stay up all night on video. They drink lots of clean water. They eat lots of clean vegetables. And 80% of their diet is vegetables, maybe even 90%. They do 10 to 20% animal. And one of the reasons that's really important is that almost all animal products are pro-inflammatory, because animal fat, saturated fat, tends to produce more inflammation. We want to make sure we get movement every day. One of the things that keeps junk from building up in your lungs is breathing. So if you are in the middle, I almost drove up there today, but I saw the tropical storm was a problem. So getting out of the house, going in and doing, like I got my walk a little bit longer this morning because I didn't have to drive this morning, even though I was dodging raindrops. Walking is one of the best things we can do to keep our immune system up, because it pumps the lymphatics in our legs and moves the toxins that are in our lower body up and out. The breathing, every time we breathe, we pull on our diaphragm, and our diaphragm creates a negative pressure in our chest that pulls the lymphatic fluid into our chest. So just doing yoga or Tai Chi actually is a detox. Walking is a detox. And then we have to support ourselves internally. Love is actually nature's greatest healing energy. And so if we spend time with our family and enjoy our family, it can be family of blood, it can be family of choice, it doesn't matter, but we need our confidants to share our lives with. This makes our immune system stronger. And we need to relax. When we get done with the day, we don't want to take the day home with us. If it's a stressful day at the office, don't dump it on your family. Come home, have that glass of wine, smoke some CBD or some THC or whatever else you like to do to unwind, and sit and chat with those people you like and love to just download the day and let it go, so you can have a very nice evening. And then share a loving meal, because that lifts your immune system too. And do some sort of internal healing every day, whether it's meditation, silent time, painting, whatever your mindful expression of your inner being is, do that, because that lifts the immune system.
So
you can also add some supplements. But
yeah, I was going to ask you about supplements. Yeah, what if you're trying to avoid contracting COVID-19 or building up your immune system so that you stay healthy, what supplements would you take?
I take, and I recommend that everybody take, vitamin D every day, because it does have significant antiviral potential. 2,000 to 5,000 units, depending on your size, and you can check your blood levels and try to shoot for 60 to 80 on your D3 level. That will be a good place to be. Zinc, 20 to 50 milligrams a day. Vitamin C, 1,000 to 10,000 a day, whatever your bowel tolerates. We want to take a good multivitamin that has activated B vitamins like methyl B12 and methylfolic acid, and with all kinds of activated minerals, magnesium and calcium and vanadium and all the other ones that run the smaller enzyme systems in the body. And you want to get good protein intake, your macronutrients. You got to get your 0.33 to 0.5 grams of protein a day, or you can't make antibodies, because antibodies are protein. And your liver needs lots of protein to make lots of antibodies. And so these are really just foundational things. And then if you want to periodically take some echinacea once or twice a week, just give your virus-killing cells a little tweak so they're up, standing on alert and ready to go. You could do the same thing with beta-glucan, which is an oat or a yeast extract. But if you see yeast extract, like Bragg's yeast extract, nutritional yeast flakes, those have those same kind of triggers in. So if we just eat a really varied diet with lots of fermented foods and lots of color in it, we're actually getting a lot of the things that we would need otherwise. But those are good supplements too.
This next email question comes from Anonymous, and Anonymous says, I'm a 44-year-old healthy male who had COVID in June. I had a couple of episodes of symptoms even after I tested negative. Now I'm having frequent urination and I'm having headaches. Could the urination and headaches be connected to COVID?
It's quite possible because we have not really spent enough time looking at post-COVID syndrome. One of the things that I have found somewhat useful, though my experience at this point is limited, I've only had a couple of post-COVID patients so far, but there is a test that comes from Diagnostic Solutions called a CytoDX. It's a cytokine test, and it looks at your inflammatory cytokines. In my one case of completely recovered COVID, the cytokine test was completely normal. In the case of the continued active COVID, many of the cytokine parameters were elevated, showing activity. So that could be a way of actually determining if you're actually still in an inflammatory post-COVID situation.
Next question comes from Don. Don writes, I'm wondering if you have any theories as to why so many in the holistic health community are so outspoken about downplaying COVID-19. I understand them wanting to take care with proactive prevention and treatments, but I cannot figure out why they feel the need to reject science and the actual facts, writes Don.
Well, there's probably a bunch of different reasons for that. I think one of them is they don't trust the government, like many people right now. There's been a big disinformation campaign for us to not trust our government, even though our government is us. We are the ones that put them there. So there's a problem with this disconnect. Another thing is that it's taken me a while to figure this part out, but I think I'm on target. When I look at these people who are well-meaning and they are very much oriented towards spirit, and there's a concept, as above, so below, when we talk about spirit and reality, you know, as in heaven, so on earth. But the as above people who are in the spirit world are thinking this is all a spiritual thing. They have forgotten that spirit also manifests. And so I think that they're kind of stuck not seeing half of the equation. And they're kind of willfully blind to the fact that yes, I support their idea that spirit is behind this because that's what drives everything. Energy is what runs the show. But we manifest physical reality, and the manifestation of this spiritual issue is definitely a coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 virus particle. And so I think they're just having difficulty understanding that as above, so is below, and there still is a below, and we have to actually deal with the below, the physical manifestation of this virus, so that we can deal with the spiritual thing too. I see it as a challenge, truly, a challenge for the world to work together for better outcomes, rather than being divided. And America is like the most divided country on the planet right now, so look at our outcomes. We have the worst. Let's get together.
Amy in St. Pete has three questions. Let me put them to you one at a time. Has coronavirus been around for years? Writes Amy.
There are 150 different coronavirus subspecies at least, and they have been our common cold for ages. This is just a new mutation of the same thing.
How many strains of flu are out there? Writes Amy.
I don't know how many, but there are lots. And they, at this point, we have now quadrivalent flu vaccines, which means they put four different subspecies into this year's vaccine.
And her third question is there any way to get factual information about how much mercury is in the common flu vaccination?
Yeah, that's easy. Go to the package information of the flu zone or the flu box or the quadra flu or something like that, I think is the other name of it. You just go to the package insert and you read down at the bottom what's actually in the bottle. And it says right there, purified protein, whatever, and nothing else at this point. Maybe a stabilizer, but since they're unit dose, they don't have to put the mercury in. As long as it's unit dose, you're not going to see mercury. And most of them take in the aluminum out, especially that brand, the flu block and quadra flu. They got rid of the aluminum too.
Well, Fred, we're out of time. Thank you so much for taking questions from all different directions. It's always great to have you on the program. And I should tell our listeners, too, that this program is podcast, so you can subscribe to the podcast for the Monday Alternative Health Program and the Sustainable Living Program. So, Fred, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
That sounds like a plan.
All right. Dr. Fred Harvey, thank you.
Thank you. you.
That's Dr. Fred Harvey, and he's in Sarasota. He's an MD, and this is WMNF in Tampa. He'll be back in 2 weeks on the Health and Nutrition Program. Now stay tuned for the latest news from NPR.